Welcome back to the New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Would you like to try our extra big-ass biometrics burger? We've got that story, plus 9/11, plus 16. But first, we'll pick up where we left off last week, and James, that's working on the blockchain. Burger King just broke crypto space with Whopper Coin, a so-called blockchain loyalty program where customers in Russia can earn one Whopper Coin per ruble spent at Burger King. For every 1,700 Whopper Coins, they'll score a free burger. Whopper Coin is hosted on a blockchain platform called Waves, which lets users swap blockchain tokens of a given value on a peer-to-peer exchange. A dedicated asset page on Waves describes it as, quote, a token for buying burgers in Russian Burger King and for the stock exchange. 1 billion Whopper Coins have been released so far, and accrued currency is stored in a digital wallet until they're redeemed for a burger. In the meantime, users can trade and transfer the coins like any other cryptocurrency. Now the Whopper is not only burger that people in 90 different countries love, it's an investment tool as well. According to the forecasts, cryptocurrency will increase exponentially in value. Eating Whoppers now is a strategy for financial prosperity tomorrow, so gushes Ivan Shestov, Burger King Russia's head of external communications, or like I joked on my morning show, in Russia, burger buys you. James, this is too strange to, I don't know. I love how in a lot of ways we track the sort of bizarre, banal things that make up the brave new world order.
It is, yeah, it's crazy, but obviously designed to be so it catches people's attention. It's a good PR gimmick, isn't it? Buy a burger and you're also in the stock exchange. Woo! Yes, if anything, I mean, there is obviously a Tulip Mania 2.0 to what's happening right now in the cryptocurrency space, and that is exemplified in the ICO craze, the initial coin offering craze that's going on right now, or has been going on. But even as we speak, country after country right now is cracking down on it. China and South Korea are now cracking down on ICOs. Russia has made it so you have to be officially registered in order to launch an initial coin offering. Israel, I believe, has issued guidance on it. And the SEC in the US, of course, has issued guidance on initial coin offerings. So the crackdown is beginning. That will, I assume, put a damper on these crazy, ridiculous initial coin offerings we've seen recently with these coins that come and get millions and millions of dollars in investment and disappear and never heard of again. It's a crazy time right now. It is the Wild West of the stock market. And hey, free exchange, people can put their money into whatever they want and lose it however they want. It's up to you. But I think the important thing to keep in mind is the real value of cryptocurrency is the potential to actually trade with other people using this. Not investment, not make $1 million because you invested in the right coin at the right time, but actual use value. And people who want to know more about that should read an excellent article that Jeffrey Tucker wrote a couple of years ago called What Gave Bitcoin Its Value at fee.org, where he talks about Mises and the regression theorem of value of currency and how that applies to Bitcoin. The actual value of this is use value. And if you're not using these coins, then they mean nothing. So, oddly enough, Whopper Coin might actually be an example of something that, well, it has an inbuilt actual use value to it. So there is something there that people can actually use. Now, personally, I hope no one goes out and buys these burgers and or coins, and I hope no one trades in them, because Burger King is not the type of corporation we want to support, and it's particularly odd for that to be happening in Russia, where Russia has at least talked about cracking down on McDonald's as a result of the latest diplomatic brouhaha and all of that. So I'm not sure that would be a good investment even from that side of it, if that's all you were looking for. But again, I think the key has to be in use value, and if people aren't using these cryptocurrencies for actual trade, then they are really useless, and they will go the way of the tulip bubble.
And actually, this article that we grabbed from Adweek actually does mention Tulip Mania by name, and we'll include that in the show notes, just like we include everything that we say and mention down in the show notes. Also include a link to the Waves exchange platform, which looks, James, it looks exactly like the platform I use for my own crypto wallets. So those are there. And James, I think our two stories up front this week go quite well together because they're two tastes that kind of don't taste great together. We'll hop from Adweek to Mashable as we get to pay for fried chicken just by scanning our face, but not in Russia. This time it's in China. A KFC, which you might know, used to be called Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's now just called KFC. Restaurant in Hangzhou, China, is testing a new facial recognition payment system that lets you pay for your meal by simply smiling at a camera. The new payment method called Smile to Pay was launched in partnership with Alipay, the popular mobile and online payment platform created by Chinese conglomerate Alibaba. You might know it as the new owners of Yahoo here in the States. The company says the facial recognition technology only takes about 2 seconds to scan someone's face using a 3D camera and a liveness detection algorithm to combat fraud. Now, there's a fancy schmancy video that goes along with this and shows you exactly step by step how this works. And they even make up the model to try and trick the camera. And it shows you how you're not going to be able to trick this camera to get chicken and mashed potatoes. Customers who decide to use the new facial payment method must also, of course, enter your phone number as well as a second form of authentication and also as another great way to hook up all your personal information. Even though it looks silly, this new form of payment is actually something Alibaba has been working on for many years. Company president Jack Ma demonstrated some of the underlying technology at a big conference in Germany two years ago. The company that built the underlying technology, Megvii, M-E-G-V-I-I, raised $100 million just in December. And KFC has been into this for a long time with all kinds of other brave new fast food nation trinkets and bells and phone charging whistles that they've rolled out over the years. Apple, of course, is too, working on more biometrics on their upcoming vending machine. And James, I can really now see the way these two stories work are the functional, easy way that everybody accepts all of this technology.
Yep. That's it. This is how the indoctrination happens. It's not government, goons coming with guns in your face to tell you to do this. It's, hey, here it is. It's the cool new way to pay at KFC. Why not? And it's no surprise at all this is happening in China. In fact, I just got a follow-up email on this story from Corbett Report user Camille, who was pointing to nextgov.com, an article they have. In China, facial recognition is used to buy KFC, board planes, and catch drug users. And they talk about some of the other uses for facial recognition, including women using facial recognition cameras to scan to get into their dormitories at night in Chinese campuses, or what was the other one? Oh yeah, scanning for toilet paper. Facial scanning for toilet paper in bathrooms. I mean, facial scanning is becoming more and more frequently introduced into, at any rate, the major urban centers in China, and is a way of obviously training the Chinese public to accept the facial scanning future. And I think they're the test case for this. As always, the NWO loves China as the canary in the coal mine. We'll see how it works in the totalitarian communist regime, and then we'll roll it out in the totalitarian democratic regimes around the world. And that's the way this agenda rolls. If people want to know more about the global scope of this biometric face scanning, fingerprint scanning agenda that's rolling out all around the world, seemingly in lockstep, I wonder why, please go to my Biometric ID Grid, a country-by-country guide that myself and the Corbett Report listeners did earlier this year, an open-source investigation where we compiled information on dozens and dozens of countries around the world talking about these very types of systems that are going into place all around the world. And China may be leading the way in some of this, but it really is happening all over the world right now.
Well, and what another great angle to the indoctrination. Then again, both of these stories, Russia, China, if this doesn't sort of explode the 80s Cold War, they're all commies, and that sort of mentality that, someone my age has grown up with, and the Cold War 80s, all of that stuff's fallen by the wayside. Hey, we're all the same.
Well,
we've all got same
or
device.
Explode the 2017, the BRICS are going to save us from NATO kind of thing. Yay, they're the good guys who are rolling out all this police state technology before it, you know, hits us.
Yeah, so the New World Order will all have the same poison fast food restaurants, so no need to worry there. And didn't we talk about the toilet paper face scanning on New World next week? I feel like we did.
If you can dig it out, we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, if I can prove it, I'll include it in the show notes. And actually, you were saying there, the last thing I'll note, you're mentioning government goons. No, it's not government goons. It's corporate fast food clowns that are coming to sort of get the kids in on this. Our third and final story this week for New World Next Week, episode 320 for September 7th, 2017. I realized, James, this has got to be our 9/11 segment. Oh, well, we have to talk about 9/11. It's the 16th anniversary. It's the 16th anniversary of that sort of catalyzing catastrophic event. And felt like when you look around, it didn't really feel like it. It didn't feel like it was another big 9/11 anniversary. So I hit the webs and looked for 9/11 anniversary news. Oh, maybe there's some, you know, polls about how many people still buy the official story. Nope. All I can find is a pretty lame op-ed from the Washington Times, which maybe actually has a better illustration than it does prose. There's also a local report from Massachusetts where a guy's, he's going to show the new Pearl Harbor documentary. But they also mentioned that his website talks about NASA moon landing and a five-sided pyramid on Mars, so he's obviously a crazy conspiracy theorist. So I guess my question is, does 9/11 truth still matter? Does anybody born after 1989 even care? So how on earth do we sort of expect to stop fast food biometrics? We can't even convince people to take a look at a video of Building 7 or maybe even kind of crack a history book. I often say on the morning show that 9/11, still this many years out, is the blank check event for everything we're drowning in. The wars, which, if you want to get to the root of environmental catastrophe, based on the lie of 9/11, all the funny money. What about all the opioids, the heroin epidemic, people coming back for more, hooked on drugs, getting it from Big Pharma? What about our news, our TV, our terrible movies, the airports themselves, for crying out loud? To paraphrase The Simpsons, 9/11 is the cause of and solution to all our problems. I would say 9/11 is the cause. 9/11 truth is the solution. James, does it feel like 16 years to you?
Well, this doesn't feel like a 9/11 anniversary, specifically because for at least the last decade, it has been the case that every single time around this time, there is some sort of distraction that is kind of 9/11 related, but takes people away from actually 9/11 itself. Usually it's in August, going into September, there's some new buildup of a new Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda threat, or ISIS has just arrived on the scene. There's always that type of distraction, and or, you remember the whole Ground Zero mosque thing and all of that kind of stuff that happened probably around the 9th anniversary or whenever that was. But now, and in fact last year, of course, 9/11 was Hillary Clinton falling down. Everyone remembers that distraction, right? But this year, there really doesn't seem to even be any particular distraction because no one's paying attention. It's 16 years. It's not even a nice round number anniversary or anything. It's just, yeah, now it's nearly two decades ago. So, yes, I think we can officially pronounce it by now as a political reality that's going to change everything overnight kind of thing, that opportunity for 9/11 truth has long since left the station. You know, barring some amazing, new, incredible, whatever, whistleblower, here's the signed documents from PNAC saying to do this, or whatever, I don't think 9/11 truth is going to have that kind of effect. That doesn't mean that it's useless. It means that now the point is 100% to expose it to the general public and unindoctrinate them from their stupor about this terrorism and show what false flag terrorism is. And as I've said before, I think we've already been quite successful in those regards. I think false flag terrorism has at least entered the vernacular, which is a huge step forward. People at least are aware of the concept, aware that governments can and do and have staged attacks in order to benefit from the crises that result from that. That is a significant step forward. But yeah, at this point, 9/11 truth is just not even relevant to the millennial generation. It's just something they've grown up with. And they're, you know, most people aren't going to question it in the same way most people in our generation. Yeah, JFK, yeah, I guess he was, I mean, that yeah, it doesn't seem like it was a lone nut, but yeah, whatever. So, yeah, we're heading into JFK territory at this point.
So if I can ask, you've actually got a 9/11 anniversary event coming up. Do you have a theme for your talk coming up? And we'll include this in the show notes if you want to plug it right now.
It's going to be a Q&A type thing with a panel and panel discussion. So I don't think there's any prepared or planned points to be made.
I thought you were going to be up and giving a talk. Okay,
I am going to be up and giving a talk in Denmark in September 16th, 17th at an Open Mind conference, but that's going to be on China and World War One.
Okay. Three. Well, as it may, we will include the links to that in the show notes because you did an announcement video for that. I do remember when the sort of Ground Zero Mosque 9/11 anniversary was. It was 2010, so it was the 9th anniversary, and I remember it well because actually – Clyde Lewis and I sort of pulled a publicity stunt here in Portland, because when you mentioned the Ground Zero Mosque, the tie-in with that is they were going to burn the Quran as this whole big phony culture war. We pulled a publicity stunt where we said we're going to burn the 9/11 Commission report, and even said this is a publicity stunt. Burning books is stupid. We're trying to bring the focus back to the events of 9/11. And we did actually have one main news station come out and cover our story, and they actually put us, we were the cherry on top of their sort of 9/11 anniversary packet of coverage, which again, James, is sort of this what it's down to at this point. All we'll see on television on the anniversary will be, of course, the sad reading of the names of people who've died and the small sort of local regional events that people have all around the country. So I'll actually include that video in the show notes where Coin6, so the local news station, actually came out and covered our event, which is also, I think, a good note for people who do activism and journalism. Press releases work. The idea that your local, news affiliate are sort of, we're crafting the news agenda. Not generally the case. They're usually overworked, just like most people are. And they respond to things that come in their email, especially if it's something they think the other stations might not cover. They're just trying to do work and trying to, make their bosses happy, essentially. So if you give them a press release, it's like, oh, this sounds interesting. Might go check that out. It worked actually for my buddy Justin Lewis, who is down in Florida, who is battling a company called eBay, because Justin Lewis started a company called Nature Bay. And he sent out press releases and he got local news coverage. So that sidebar, in some ways, will James let me segue as we wrap this episode up. Speaking of my YouTube channel, I've also got the latest episode of Good News next week, which is the spinoff from New World Next Week, where I try and look at some solutions-oriented stories. It's called Build Your Own Human Chain. It talks about America keeping the cannabis coming as laws keep changing all around America, blessing boxes, keeping bees, and shows here in the States that disaster kind of brings out people's best. And I will also mention, James, that this upcoming 9/11 anniversary is, not uncoincidentally, the anniversary of when I launched Media Monarchy. It went online September 11th, 2005, and it was just a little blog on Blogspot. And now, 12 years later, it is an independent, non-commercial media outlet brought to you by you. We are supported by you. If you'll check out our support pages, our Patreon pages, that's how we keep going with independent music, or not independent music, but independent news and media. James, you and I have never had advertisements in the decades of doing our work.
No, we haven't. And let's continue it that way. And just as a deprogramming note, yes, I will be on my way to Denmark next week at this time. So no New World next week, but the week after that. So see you in 2 weeks.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.